Good morning, Peace Church, and welcome to worship. If you're joining us on YouTube this morning, click on the link in the description below to check in. If you're joining us on Facebook, that link can be found in the comments. No matter how you're joining us, we would love to know that you've worshiped with us this morning. You will also find other helpful links, such as our online giving portal and prayer request submission. If you are still able, you can continue to send in any contributions through the mail or give electronically by visiting www.peacechurch.org/give. If you know of someone that doesn't have access to a computer, we encourage you to call them and worship with them over the phone. We want to make sure that everyone is still connected during this time when we are urged to stay apart. Lastly, if we can be of any assistance during this time, please don't hesitate to contact the church office. From all of us here at Peace, thank you for joining us this morning. Now let's begin worship with the singing of our opening hymn.
We make our beginning this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Let us now take a moment of silent reflection. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ.
O most gracious God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us and has given His only Son to die for us, and for His sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on His name, He gives power to become the children of God and has promised them His Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all.
Amen. The Old Testament lesson comes from Genesis chapter 1. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, and livestock,
the creatures that move along the ground and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw that all that he made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our Holy Gospel is found in John chapter 4. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For the Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So today I'd like to talk to you about original intent. And it has to do with our society, but it also has to do with the original intent of our Lord as well as he created us. So created in God's image is the original intent for human beings. In Genesis 1:26, then God said, "And now we will make human beings, and they will be like us and resemble us." Mankind is created in God's image, and God's image was holiness. So the original intent for human beings were to live holy lives, and holy lives would look like this: loving God and loving one another perfectly. It wouldn't be about prejudice. It wouldn't be about looking down on others. It wouldn't be about judging one another, but it would be about loving God and loving one another. So God has given human beings some of his spiritual aspects, his ability to think and reason. We have an innate knowledge of right and wrong, which we would call a conscience, and we have a full spectrum of emotions. So the need for spiritual things for a human is part of who we are. And sometimes when we have this kind of void in our lives and we're looking at what will make us content, that contentment is having a one-on-one relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He is the one that can fill the void. But as human beings, we try to fill that void through money, leisure, sports, alcohol, and other kinds of things. But what really makes us content is a solid relationship with the one who originally designed us to be like him. But then you and I know that sin enters the world and original intent is fractured. In Genesis 3, sin enters the world and we are now in slavery to sin. We cannot stop sinning. No matter how hard we think, how hard we try, we still sin. In Genesis 4, Cain kills Abel. In Genesis 6, God brings a flood and starts over. So we all know that the image of God in human beings is tarnished. In Genesis 5, 1 and 2, it reads, "When God created mankind, he made them in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them, and he named them mankind when they were created." So human Adamy is called mankind, not different races. The last time I cut myself, I noticed that I bled red. And I bet the last time that you cut yourself, you bled the same color. Because we are all one human race. We are not different races. In Genesis 5:3, it reads, "When Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image, and he named him Seth." So Seth was born in the image or likeness of his mom and his dad, who were sinners. And the last time I looked, we are all sinful human beings. So Jesus said in John 8:34, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. One of the real problems in our country is too many people are hypocrites. They look down on one another or down on some other people, and they judge them by their own perceptions. They think they have this high moral ground when in essence none of us have a high moral ground because we are all sinful human beings. And you know what a hypocrite looks like and sounds like. Basically, they look down on other people and they find the faults in other people. So Jesus spoke about hypocrites in his day as well, telling them to take the log out of their own eye before they take the speck out of someone else's eye. Well, sin spreads to the first murder of Cain killing his brother, and sin spreads like a virus in Genesis chapter 6, and God decides to begin over with Noah and his family. So how evil was it in Noah's day? We really don't know. But how much evil is in our world today? I think we have some kind of assessment, at least from our own point of view. So in our Declaration of Independence, the original intent, we read, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." So, are these truths really self-evident? If these truths are self-evident, why do we treat people like we do? Why do we look down on other people who are different than we are? Why couldn't the framers of our Constitution eliminate slavery? Well, perhaps a better question is, why can't we eliminate prejudice in our time? Do we enslave others by what we think of them, what we say about them, and how we treat them? You see, it's easy to look at the framers of the Constitution and condemn them for slavery. But yet, we enslave others by what we say about them and what we think about them. So this morning I'd like to take a historical view of how our country tried to resolve the slavery issue. In 1820, there was a Missouri Compromise. The original intent is compromise. Missouri would be admitted as a slave state, and Maine would be admitted as a free state. And there would be this imaginary line drawn through the Louisiana Purchase of where the line for free states and the line for southern states or slave states would be. So this Missouri Compromise basically admitted one slave state and one free state at the same time to keep that kind of balance within the country. But the unresolved issue of slavery was addressed as a way to keep the country together rather than splitting it up. So in January 1854, Senator Stephen Douglas introduced a bill that would divide the land west of Missouri into two territories, Kansas and Nebraska. And he argued for popular sovereignty, is basically allow the settlers who live in those states to decide for themselves if it should be a free state or a slave state. So the Kansas-Nebraska Act repealed the Missouri Compromise of 1820. So some of you know some of the things that Abraham Lincoln said, but Abraham Lincoln said these words in 1854 as well in a now famous speech, and I read, "If the Negro is a man, why then my ancient faith teaches me that all men are created equal and that there can be no moral right in connection with one man's making a slave of another." And he said this in 1854. So Abraham Lincoln was a voice against slavery for the ideals of the Declaration of Independence, but also the original intent of God himself. So when we look back and ask, why couldn't the founding fathers live up to the ideals that they penned, perhaps a better question for us today is, why can't we live up to the ideals of the founding fathers? Or another question, why can't we live up to the ideals of the image of God? Why can't we treat one another with dignity? And the answer is that we are all slaves to sin. We are slaves to our own selfishness. We are slaves to our own vindictive motives. The tensions that you and I are facing today is civil unrest, possibly similar to what our country faced in the past that led up to the Civil War. The U.S. Civil War began April the 12th, 1861, and concluded on April the 9th, 1865. 618,220 men died. That's over 500,000 men died during the Civil War. And the Emancipation Proclamation was given on January the 1st, 1863, freeing all slaves in all states. So what did the Civil War accomplish? The abolition of slavery. It also strengthened the Union, and it put the United States on the road to becoming an economic superpower. But there are also negative effects as well. The war really affected women who had lost husbands and children. Children who had lost fathers. Families decimated, dreams dashed. And what about the slaves? They were free, but now they were at a loss how to live because the system of slavery had been abolished. Where would they get employment? Where would they have food? And where would they live? Who would take care of all of the wounded? Who would take care of the sick? The destruction of property was immense. Who would rebuild the South? And the growth of federal government was there, trying to step in and help soothe the battle. The Battle of Antietam in Sharpsburg, Maryland, happened on September the 22nd, 1862. And this battle, more men were killed in a 12-hour period than any single day in the war. 23,000 men were killed in 12 hours. That's almost 2,000 men per hour being killed because of our Civil War. And the Emancipation Proclamation was an executive order from Abraham Lincoln freeing all slaves, which led to the 13th Amendment to the United States, which reads, "Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime, whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place to their jurisdiction. And this was ratified by the last state on December the 6th, 1865. Well, you may remember a little bit about the Gettysburg Address on November the 19th, 1863, where Abraham Lincoln wrote, "Fourscore and 7 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal." Well, are we all created equal? Do we see each other as equal? We are all one race. We are all humans. So it's not about a racial divide, because we are all human beings. We all bleed red. The original intent of God who created us was that we would live in His image of loving Him and loving one another. And Jesus lived out the original intent of giving up His life so that you and I might have life beyond the grave. Jesus loved us and was willing to lay down His life for humanity. And Jesus fulfilled God's original intent by dying on the cross, and His death pays for the sins that we have been enslaved to. And that forgiveness of sins comes because of how we judge others, supposedly by moral authority. And none of us have that moral authority because we are all sinful human beings. Liberty is not cheap. All human beings deserve life, including the unborn whose lives are taken. They are denied their unalienable right of pursuit of life, liberty, and of happiness. Martin Luther King gave a speech on August the 28th, 1963, and I remember watching that speech on TV at the Lincoln Memorial. I was 16 years old at that time, and that speech made an impression on me. So, "I Have a Dream" speech, Martin Luther King wrote, "Fivescore years ago, a great American, in whom symbolic shadow we stand today, signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon of light, of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice." So as we look at Martin Luther King, he was a sinful human being, but he was also a man of God. And hopefully we would judge him by the content of his character and not the color of his skin. Paul wrote, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And today, I confess to you that I am a sinful human being, seeing the history of our United States from our own viewpoint. I am a sinful human being who also sees a Savior from my own viewpoint, is that He loves me and that the Savior loves all humanity, and all who believe in Him will have the gift of life. Well, you will note that Martin Luther King uses the formula of the Gettysburg Address that Abraham Lincoln used over 100 years before. And he talks about a beacon of hope. And that's radical to the injustice that we see in our country today. I believe that we would all agree that the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis was a tragedy of injustice. So, what does justice look like? What will justice be in our country? Martin Luther King once again said in his I Have a Dream speech, "I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out their true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident. They're all men are created equal. I too have a dream for our country, that we as Christians, followers of Jesus, will be leaders in our community, leaders in our circles of influence, that we can make a difference of loving our neighbors as we love ourselves. And loving others does not tolerate lawbreaking. But loving others means that we will live out our faith in Jesus Christ by sharing Jesus Christ with others. In a sense, as Christians, we are colorblind because the Bible says that all nationalities will be in heaven. I believe we as Christians have a real opportunity to get outside of our comfort zone and talk with people who are different than we are. I had the opportunity to talk to some neighbors who were walking by who have a different skin color. And we had a marvelous time about talking about our country and what will justice look like. What will loving our neighbor look like? And it begins with getting to know our neighbors, the people who God has put beside us. And I believe that what it means to talk to a neighbor is to listen without judging, to hear their story. And then we can share our story, and we can see where our lives intersect without judging each other. You see, we all see this world through our own eyes. But we have a right to share our story just as others have a right to share their story. So could we agree that we will listen to the stories of others without judging them, without looking down on them? And I believe the original intent is found in Micah 6, verse 8. This verse reads, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." So what does it mean to act justly? I believe acting justly is to acknowledging others as a human being having the same rights that you and I have. What does it mean to love mercy? Loving mercy means showing kindness, showing an interest in someone else and not looking down on them. And what does it mean to walk humbly with our God? It means a willingness to listen to the ideas, the thoughts, the stories of others without being judgmental. So let me share with you how Jesus lived out and dealt with racism in John chapter 14. So Jesus meets the woman at the well, original intent. It reads, "A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink of water.' So Jesus made the original approach to this engaging a conversation with this woman. And in Jesus' day, rabbis did not talk to women. So the woman was surprised that Jesus spoke to her. And besides that, the Jews were a little prejudiced because the Jews thought of themselves as the pure race and the Samaritans as a mixed race because they were half Jew and half something else. And Jesus was even accused of being a Samaritan and having a demon by the Pharisees when he healed people on the Sabbath. So you might say that the Pharisees were prejudiced against Jesus in their remarks and actions. The Jews were the pure bloods of their religion, and the Pharisees were leading the way. And you remember when Philip found Nathanael and he told him, "We have found the Messiah." And Nathanael's response is, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Well, Jerusalem was the main city, and Nazareth was a very small town north of Jerusalem. And it wasn't really known for anything. So when Nathanael says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" he's making a judgment. Well, it probably is not much different than a Texan saying, "Can anything good come out of New York City?" Well, let's continue on with the story of Jesus at the woman in the well. So Jesus meets the woman at the well, and it reads, "The woman answered, 'You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan. How can you ask me for a drink?'" And in parentheses, "Jews will not use the same cups and bowls that Samaritans use." So you can bet that this woman has experienced prejudice of the Jews to the Samaritans in the past. And would you consider that the statement is prejudicial when Jews will not use the same cups and bowls that Samaritan uses? When we see all of these things, the woman experienced prejudice by other women as well, because she had five husbands. So you can bet that the other ladies talked about this to the other ladies and other times looked down on this woman. And she came during noon hour, which is about 4 hours or 6 hours later than the other women came to get their water. So Jesus meets the woman at the well, the original intent. Jesus answered, "If you only knew what God gives and who is it that is asking you for a drink, you would ask him, and he would give you life-giving water." I believe we would all agree that human beings are judgmental, but Jesus accepts the woman where she is. He is acting justly. Jesus does not condemn the woman, but he shows mercy to her. And Jesus listens to her and offers her living water as he humbly walks with God by offering what God will give to all. So when we see what Jesus offers as living water, that living water is for all people. As a believer in Jesus Christ, living water is in me, a hope that this world can be better, and a hope that we can share the love of Jesus. And as we share the love of Jesus, we will learn to love one another, to look at over the differences and to see that we're all human beings. We all bleed red, and God died for all human beings. And we need to love one another. We need to be colorblind. So offering life-giving water today, I believe, is this essential. To act justly would mean to bless someone else. So you have to ask your question to yourself is, how can I bless someone this week that's acting justly? And how can I love mercy? Is to encourage another human being, whoever it may be, within family, neighbors, co-worker, whoever it is. How can I be there to be an encourager? And finally, walking humbly before our God is to make someone special. Let them know that you care because God cares. Love them as Christ has loved you. So we conclude today with Micah 6. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Amen.
We confess our faith now together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Join me this morning as we pray for the church and for the whole people of God everywhere. Most gracious and everlasting Father, Alpha and Omega, the one who was and who is to come, the God who neither sleeps nor slumber, have mercy upon us, O God, and blot out our transgressions. According to your steadfast love, wash us of our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. When our heart is overwhelmed, lead us to the rock that is higher than us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. With contrite hearts and broken spirits, we come to you this morning, O God, pleading for peace, comfort and healing for all who are sick and afflicted in our midst. Even as your word declares that healing is the children's bread, we say this day, give us our daily bread and remember us in our season of affliction. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As it is no secret that as a nation, as a people, as a church and as a family, we are faced with some of the most trying and uncertain times our world has ever seen. We pray for wisdom, for understanding, for tolerance, and for reconciliation in this hour, Lord. Even as we are concerned about safety and order and peaceful coexistence, I pray that you cause us, the church, the ambassadors of Christ in the earth, to be equally as concerned about justice, about equality, and about righteousness. Break our hearts for the things that break your hearts. Break our hearts for the things that break yours. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Once again, we present our families to you, Lord Jesus. Keep them, protect them, and deliver them from all evil, seen and unseen. We cancel every evil assignment and uproot every demonic entrapment the enemy has designed for our children and our loved ones. We lift up our country, our leaders, our military and police, our first responders, and all those on the front lines of protecting and securing our well-being. Remember them, O God, and let there be a prodigious outpouring of your grace, mercy, peace, love, and protection upon them all. May they feel you nearer to them every hour of every day in every way. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In closing, Lord, we lift up Peace Church, your people, your congregation, as well as the church universal. May we be known for our love for God and our neighbor. May we embrace your call for our lives and learn to walk upright before you, showing mercy, loving justice, reflecting your great love, and spreading the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray when we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now hear these words from Jude. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.